As human beings, we want to evolve, become better and better. And in this process of betterment, we have some ideas which are temporary in the sense they keep on changing. My ideas of what is better, they are fluctuating as the evolution is going on. So what appears to be the most important and most covetous or worth coveting ideal afterwards loses its charm, and you want to get something different or something more than what you had been seeking earlier. This is also in the case of our spiritual development. It is the ideal or the goal that we have. It sometimes and quite often mixed with various other achievements that, well, yes, I want spiritual achievement, but I want the material achievements also. And sometimes those achievements, they growing or becoming greater on that plane, attracts the mind more. So it is told in this 8th chapter that we have been studying, look, those achievements really are not going to satisfy you. You have to revert back, you have to come back and start over again, because what you were looking for, you did not get through the efforts that you were putting in. You were trying to get something, you got it, but then you discovered that that was not really what you were looking for, and the result is start all over again. This is the what we call again and again one has to take birth, again and again die, because we did not complete the job. It is like if we start that some of those puzzles, we try, and then if we our method is not right, after lot of this time spent in trying to resolve the puzzle, we find that we made some mistake somewhere, and then we are back to square one again, and so again start. So most of our running after worldly achievements is like that. The development on that plane appears to be very lucrative, very immediately giving some nice results, but it comes with lot of entanglements and frustrations. The frustration is because we have high hopes associated with those things, and they are never fulfilled in those achievements because they do not really make you big. They are different illusions. Like if you do not get satisfaction through just a picture of mango or apple, whatever fruit you like, if you don't have the real apple to eat, but you have a picture of apple. Now you try to lick it, you do not get any satisfaction. But you get the illusion that probably the picture is small, so you didn't get the satisfaction. Let me get a bigger picture of apple. So the worldly achievements are of that type, that maybe in my just getting through the high school is not bringing me the full satisfaction, but when I get my this college degree, then I will get the full satisfaction. But then again, as you go through that, you have other problems awaiting you, and it goes on like that. So therefore, through many such attempts, one comes to know that through these attempts, what you got is a variety of bondages. Instead of one bondage, you changed it for another bondage. You didn't get freedom. So you strive for freedom. And so Lord said in those verses that we were seeing in the 8th chapter, that even if you become a greatest being in this universe, Brahma, we discussed those ideas, this whole universe is kind of, body of that Brahma. So, such great being, but then still you have to come back again and again, a big illusion. Instead of a small illusion, a big illusion, that is the result. Like that story, a very miserly person gave a gift to the neighbor. You should be giving gift to the neighbor. So they had a nice apple tree in their orchard there. And so they must give something to the neighbor. So they brought a big basket of apples, full of apples. But there it was empty. Only that man came as if there are a lot of apples there and very heavy basket carrying on the head. And asked, where should I keep these apples? Now it was an empty basket. The neighbor saw and then said, oh my goodness, it is nothing here. So now you have to give a return gift. That neighbor also was like that. He said that we don't have apples, but we have a pumpkin. So please take the pumpkin back in this basket. Thank you for the apples. And take this pumpkin. So he, nothing there, only hand, he showed like that. Take this pumpkin. And then, after this happened, that neighbor's father came. And his son told him that, look, that neighbor had come and he gave all these apples. Nothing there. So I also paid back in the same coin. I said, take this pumpkin, and brought it there and told him to take. The father started scolding him that why? You should not have given the whole pumpkin, only half would have been enough. So, there is no pumpkin, only the shape, you see. Now, whether you, that is the illusion, big illusion or small illusion, you die in illusion, then it is, you are not getting anything. So that is why we start again, back to square one, again begin. Not that nothing has happened. In the process we have accumulated that knowledge, that those lessons have come our way, that this is not the right way. I am making mistakes somewhere. Like it was asked to Edison that he was making the bulbs, and it is said that 100 times he kept on trying, didn't work. And then after that 101st times or like that, he saw that it is glowing. And then his friend said, well, so first 100 attempts, were they waste? They were all waste. He said, no. I learned from those attempts that by these 100 ways, I cannot make bulb. So I got that knowledge from those mistakes. So mistakes are not to be rude about, or one should not feel depressed about that. Okay, mistakes, they brought some these lessons in our life. Now let us learn that lesson and move ahead. So one therefore learns that if you attain to God, like that verse we saw, that all these achievements in the world, they bring you back again and again. But maam upetyatu kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. If you realize God, then there is no coming back because you have reached the goal. Otherwise, it is like suppose you are going somewhere. You are in the car and you have some directions, but you are not finding the place. And so till you find, we were trying to find once in darkness. It was some house and then the numbers were not visible, and our area is notorious in not having the road names correctly put on every intersection. So we kept on just circulating there. Till we found the right spot, we had to keep on going. Once you find the right place, then yes, now you part, you get out. And like that. So when you got the right place, that is God, then you are relieved of this burden of going through the cycles of life and death. So he tells there that this is the paras, the highest realization. Let us see the verse 20 and 21st in the 8th chapter there. Parastasmattu bhavonyo avyakto vyaktat sanatanah yasya sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati avyaktokshara ityukta tamahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. Beyond this unmanifest, there is another unmanifest eternal being that does not perish when the creatures perish. That unmanifest, which is called the imperishable, is said to be the supreme goal, attaining which they return not. That is Maha's supreme abode, Param Dhamma. That Dhamma means home. Where is our home? You tell that, well, I live in that place. You give your street address. This is my home. Well, it keeps on changing. For some years you may live there. If you get another job, you live somewhere. It keeps on changing. Not that you are always there. And even if that you are living there, will you be always found there? You may be traveling somewhere. You may not be always found there. So what is your real home? You may say, I am in the body. That is my real home. I will always be found in the body. But that also doesn't last too long. Comes and goes quickly. No, not really. We sometimes feel, especially in the youth, that there is still many, many, many years to live. But it is just a flash, comes and goes. That beautiful verse of Shankara says that how is life? That vidyuchalam jivitam, like a flash of lightning. Just flashes, and before you can show somebody, it is already gone. So people are born, they die. It is just a flash, comes and goes. So that is also, this body is also not our true home. Keeps on changing. But what is our true home? Lord is our unchanging true home. That is why this beautiful Sanskrit word for that, Lord is our true highest home. Best home, from which we never have to go out. Other homes, yes, like if you do not have the job there, you have to go somewhere for it. You just change your home, or you are for some other reasons you can't live there for too long. It goes on changing. you have to go out. But this home is such that you are always there. God is our true home, our highest abode. All other things, they are passing temporary homes. So this is a good idea to remember that all the homes that we live in are temporary. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that, look, this life on earth is a temporary. You are in journey. And like you stop on journey somewhere in a motel for a day, so is this life on earth. You are just taking a short stop. But the real home is when you realize God, you get to your true home, from where you don't have to again go out, because you have found everything there. What you were looking for, everything is obtained. So, and how is it to be found? It was also told the process for that, that Purushasya Parapartha, 22nd verse, Bhaktya Labhyastvananyaya Yasyantasthani Bhutani Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. That Supreme Being, O Partha, in whom are all beings and by whom all this is pervaded, is attainable by one point devotion. And this verse is very poetic and very assuring, that through one pointed devotion you can achieve God. So all one pointed means we spend our energies in achieving so many different things. And should we then not strive for that? Well, some of it might be needed for sustenance. So you can do that, but connect it to this goal. This should be the ultimate goal. And others are the secondary objectives. Like you need to put fuel in your car to go somewhere. But putting the fuel in the car is not a goal as such. You have to drive. And for driving, for reaching a place, you need fuel in the car. So all other objectives in life can be compared to this. That we need fuel to keep this body going on, mind going on, and the purpose for all this is Lord. So connecting our these objectives, these mundane objectives, they have their importance. They are not to be given up, just like your journey cannot take place if you do not put fuel in the car. So similarly, our body is to be taken well care of. It is not that one becomes spiritual automatically by neglecting our physical health. The physical health is important. Our mental health and the education that we get in this world through various processes, that is important. But how important and to what extent, it is like fueling or taking care of the car, so that you can go or have the journey towards the ultimate goal. If you keep on only fueling the car and don't go there, then why fuel it at all? It is useless. So, similarly, only taking care of the body or the worldly things, the money matters, all those are useless if you do not connect that to God realization. So that is the meaning of one-pointedness. That all those things have to be connected to this purpose. All activities primarily or secondarily need to be tuned to this goal of life. And then one doubt comes to people's minds many times, again and again it comes, that, well, I may realize God, but then I may be missing many other things in life. I want to realize God, no doubt, but I also have the desire to travel a lot in this world, to see many different places. I like to go and see the African forest and climb the mountain Kilimanjaro or what that, and then I want also to see the beautiful beaches all around in the Caribbean. So how, in addition to God realization, I want these things also, then I want to do a lot of philanthropic work. There are so many deprived poor people, I like to serve them, that is also what I want to do. So not only God realization, not only the experiencing the divine, but I want these things also. And I like to have a nice big house. Living this tiny house is not very, I can't appreciate that much. In addition to God realization, I need to have a spacious, very beautiful, if possible, palatial house to live in. And all those things are there. So in addition to God realization, I would like to have all those things too. Is it not? That is what our Vishwanath thinks, that maybe God realization is fine, but with that all other things also. One lady had come here and we had a lot of argument. She said that it is God realization, maybe okay, and but you tell for that you should be truthful and straightforward, but that, Swami, doesn't work. Let me tell you, if you want to be successful in the world, you have to be street smart. If you are not street smart, then nobody cares for you. You are just, people walk over you. You are taken advantage of. And unless I want both, the spiritual enlightenment and also the worldly glory, if you get both, then only it makes sense. I don't want only spiritual glory. So show me that path by which I can combine both these. And I told, well, dear, I don't have any such knowledge of these parts of combining these things. It is, and our scripture, Sri Ramakrishna also didn't know of these things. Otherwise, he would have told. There is one way by which you can really, truly combine these things, but not in the sense lady was asking. And she was very frank. I don't say that she only was openly talking what all others keep in the mind. She was frank and outspoken. So we keep those ideas in our mind that, yes, I want both these things. So Lord says, you give up this idea because what you are essentially talking is that if you think it like this, that if you have $1,000, then you have $1 also, is it not? It is, if you are told, give up running after $1, you get $1,000. If you stop running after $1, do you ask the question, then what will happen about my $1? A fool, if you get $1,000, $1 is included in that, $2 are included in that, $100 are included in that, $999 also are included in that. So whatever worldly aspirations you have, they all get included in this achievement because everything is in Lord. Everything is in the Lord. So it is by realizing God you will get all your desires fulfilled. But if you try to fulfill them separately, not only that you will not realize God, you will miss those also, because they are otherwise all shadows. That nice idea that one of my teachers had told, and I think about it very often, that suppose you are standing in front of the mirror and there is a smudge on your face. You see it in the mirror and then you start rubbing the mirror to get out that smudge. You may keep on rubbing for eternity, it will not go. But if somebody says, no, no, you take it out from the face, will you say, no, no, but I want to be taken out from both, so first let me try taking it out from that, then I will turn my attention to my face, I will take it out from there. It is something like this, that let me first make arrangement for all my worldly achievements, and then I will turn towards God. First let me secure those things. First, let me remove this smudge from the mirror, and then I will take out this smudge from my face. Well, if you remove this smudge from the face, what happens? From the mirror, that image also it is gone. You don't have to make any separate attempt to rub it there. It is because it is on the face, you see it on the mirror. So if you remove it from the face, that automatically removes it from the mirror. But if you have the opposite strategy, that first let me remove it from the mirror by rubbing the mirror, then you are in a fool's paradise, thinking that you are very strategically approaching the problem. It is all foolishness. So that is why we have so much frustration in the world. People get frustrated in making attempts. What will happen if not frustration, if I keep on rubbing the mirror to get rid of that smudge? Frustration will be the result. So therefore, this is the Lord is still showing the right way by which all our aspirations will be fulfilled. So he says that yasyantasthani bhutani. When you reach that divine, then all those are included there. Nothing is left out. Like Jesus said, that ye first seek the kingdom of heaven, everything else will be added unto it. It is because everything is there. It is, you will get everything. You will not need anything else than, because all that is included in it. All appearances of the reality are included when you get the reality. You don't have to worry about the appearances. It is, if you try to hold the shadow of a branch of a tree, try holding, you will not be able to hold it. Hold the actual branch and you will see that the shadow also is held. So this is the way that Lord is telling to fulfill your life, that achieve this God realization in life. And as you achieve it, you will see the desires for everything else, they are gone, as if you have already gotten all those things. You don't require those things anymore. So, this is what he says, yena sarvam idam tatam. All this is pervaded. All these things that you see in the world are pervaded with that divine effulgence. And God is in and through all of these. Like we see the pictures in the movie, all those pictures are pervaded by the screen, is it not? They are really only the screen. If you try to hold those pictures, you will hold screen alone. So, similarly, all these pictures that we see, these are all pictures, is it not? What is a three-dimensional, 3D movie, that's all. And on a big theater, much bigger than that IMAX, whole Universal Theater, on this movie going on, what is the screen on which this movie is going on? What is real there? And God alone is real there. That God pervades in and through each and every image that we see here. So, let us feel this essence of the world. Try to hold on to that essence. The other pictures, they will automatically be included in it. You don't have to worry about them. Lord further says that now I will tell you how to go on this path. Remember, there is the going higher and going lower. Walking on this path in the right direction and in the wrong direction. If you are walking in the right direction, then you will gradually move towards this higher and higher stages in life. You will not fall back. In other paths, you will keep on falling back, again and again making the same attempt. So, go on the path of spiritual evolution. Because why is this point raised? Is because we immediately feel after hearing this, but I don't know if I can achieve this in this birth or immediately. What are the baby steps for that? I need to go by step by step approach is necessary. Tell me by what steps one goes there. If I lead a devotional life, but do not actually get that illumination in this life, then again do I fall back? So Lord says that not necessarily. You start from the higher level your next journey. You go higher and higher. This idea had been explored earlier in the 6th chapter in reply to Arjuna's question that if somebody is practicing all this yoga discipline to realize the ultimate truth, but suppose before he reaches that lofty goal, the fellow dies. Now what happens to all these achievements? The answer given there is nothing is lost there. Whatever you had achieved, that achievement stays with you. Whatever spiritual evolution has come your way, that remains with you. And in your next birth, you start with that head start. That advantage is with you, so you go ahead. Here it is made more explicit, more clear that how people die and what happens to them when they die and take the next birth, what are the different ways of happening these things. So here Lord gives the description of the two paths or two directions in which these things happen, the spiritual evolution or the spiritual degradation. So, One is called the path of light, path of illumination. Uttarayana, that is the Sanskrit word for that, is the Uttarayana, technical word for this path, where you have all the luminous signs. Then you have the signs where darkness goes on increasing. So that is called the Dakshinayana. So he gives the description in coming three verses. Let us read them, 23, 24, 25. Yatra kale tvanavrittim avrittim chaiva yoginah prayata yantitam kalam vakshame bharatarshabha. The time at which departing from hence the yogis attain non-return or return, that time, O best of Bharatas, I shall tell you. It is not the question of the physical time, that if I die during this month or on this particular day, it will happen. It is the question of what spiritual awareness you have when you are dying. That is what is meant here. Otherwise, this will not make sense if that Uttarayana and Dakshinayana is only understood as a particular month or a particular day. Then all this will not make sense. So, it is the question of having the spiritual evolution. If one is going in the right direction, then what happens? One gets on to the evolutionary track. If not, then the involutionary or the degrading track. So he tells here those things. Agnir jyotirah shukla shanmasa uttarayanam tatra prayata gachanti brahma brahma vidojanaha. Fire, the flame, the day, the bright half of the month, and the 6 months of the sun's northern course, departing by this path, the north of Brahman, attain Brahman. So these are the signs, not that it is the 6 months as it is told of the luminous, the bright cycle, the summer, these season of from the when the sun starts becoming brighter and brighter, the day starts becoming longer and longer, that cycle. Now, of course, the months in the northern hemisphere will be different from the months in the southern hemisphere. So, and they are these months, they are the months which have more light. So the signs of light are shown there, that your life will become more and more lighted. If you are walking in this path, the divine light will appear more and more in you, because the covering will start coming off. We are basically divine, but because of the covering, that divinity is not experienced by us. That light is not in our life. So, when these coverings start going off, the ignorance starts becoming less and less in life, then the light starts shining more and more. So, therefore, these signs of light, that when you pass, you are on a luminous path. So, it is not exactly returning back. You may be taking the new birth, but then you are really not starting from the square one. You have already achieved the evolution, and you start from that point. Your path is the path of light. So you walk on a lighted path. You don't walk in darkness. As that imitation of Christ book quotes, that those who follow me, they don't walk on the path of darkness. Yes, if you follow the Lord, then you will not be walking on the path of darkness. You are moving forward towards the course until you get ultimate realization, ultimate effulgence. You will still, since you are moving closer and closer to it, more and more light, more and more that sense of liberation and knowledge will be in our life. Opposite to that is the path. Dhumu ratris tatha krishna shanmasa dakshinayanam tatra chandramasam jyoti yogi prapyanivartate. Smoke, the night, the dark half of the month, and the 6 months of sun's southern passage. Departing by the path, the yogi attains the lunar sphere and returns thence. Both are called yogis. That is a point to be noted, that this is, they are making attempts, but the right means and not right means, that's all. If you do not take the right means, you should know that, well, how will you know that I am not on the right track? More and more ignorance, more and more confusion, more and more darkness in life. And how will you know that you are on the right path? More and more light in life, more and more joy in life, more and more presence of God felt within, more and more liberation, freedom from the physical bondage is seen in life. So this is how you know. The psychological importance of these verses is that how would you know whether you are on right track or not right track? And we want spiritual evolution, but how would you know that you are on the right track? There should be some signs. Suppose you started from Providence to go towards New York. And when you started, you saw the sign, New York, 175 miles. And after driving for 1 hour, you saw the sign, New York, 200 miles. Then that shows that you have made some mistake. If you were going in the right way, then the distance from New York would go on reducing. If you saw 175 miles first when you started, then you will see 120 miles. So then you know that you are on the right path, because the distance to New York is going on reducing. And the signs are there of it. So similarly, if we are going on the right path, just having the desire to realize God and taking the wrong path will not help. We will have to also go by the right track, and going by the right track has its signs. So what are the signs? The presence of God will be felt more and more, because presence of God has its signs. What are those? They are given here. More and more illumination will be felt, more and more that joy, light, that will be felt in life, more and more love will be seen in life. All these things are the signs of making spiritual progress. If that is not happening, and if you are seeing the reverse signs, then stop, ask, like that what we do. Is it not while driving, if we see that, well, that is not the right path, then we ask somebody, is this road here, as I am going, leads to New York? That fellow said, well, if you make an about turn, then it will lead to New York. So we get that guidance. Thus, it is required then to stop when we see the signs that we are going away from Lord. if we are going towards Lord, we will get those proper signs of God realization. So, this is how it is. These two paths, Lord says, are continuously going on in the world. They are always there. Shukla Krishna Gati Yete Jagat Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyana Vrittim Anyaya Vartate Punaha. These two paths, the path of getting more and more entangled and the path of liberation from this entanglement. These two paths are always there. By one, you get caught again and again. By other, you get liberated. Sri Ramakrishna used to call these two as the avidya maya that keeps on binding you more and more, and the vidya maya that takes you to liberation gradually. Both of these are the paths. One towards more bondage, other is towards liberation. This is always there. You will see in some Vedanta texts, like the beautiful commentary that Shankara gives on the Kena Upanishad, the introductory commentary on Kena Upanishad. He says that what happens to the actions that we do? He says that there are three types. The first type is those people who do not care for what the scripture says or what is right or wrong. As per the impulse, they keep on performing their actions without the thought of right or wrong. Just the impulsive behavior based on likes and dislikes without subjecting it to thinking. So, what happens in their life? Those actions are not really befitting human being because it is not preceded by thought. Human beings should be acting, first thinking, then acting. Many times we do not follow this sequence that we act and then start thinking. That is usually, then that thinking is usually called repentance. If we do not act after thinking, and then after the action is done, now thinking has, it can only come to help if we are acting in our next action. So thinking has to precede the action, and that thought should be whether it is right or not right. So, when you do those actions and you consult scriptures for that, the wise people who have given guidance about it, then you do the actions as directed by the scriptures. And in those, again, there are two ways. One is that you do those with desires. You don't do the actions instinctively. You follow scriptures, but you have the worldly desires and attachments with which you do them. Then what is the result there? You get into bondage again and again. This path, that path of darkness, that is then the result. Suppose you are performing those actions given by scriptures, but with detachment and trying to become desireless. And with detachment and with no desires, if you do those actions, now those actions will have a very different impact on your mind. What will be the impact on mind? The cleaning of the mind will be the impact. The mind will get cleaned of the dross. All the desires will be cleaned. And then the Lord sitting there will start shining forth. So this efficacy of actions done in this manner, that will put us on this track of illumination. We will get more and more illumination in life. If we are doing it fast enough, sincerely enough, with more one-pointed attention, then maybe it is very, very possible that you will achieve that in short time in this life itself. You don't have to worry about in this life itself, you will see you are traveling towards more and more light, more and more joy, more and more that manifestation of love. All those signs of divine will start coming in life as we march in the right direction. If it is wrong direction, not that you have to really wait for dying. You see the signs of more and more attachments, entanglements, worries, and all that, they keep on in coming in life. So, therefore, it is very important we understand these paths and direct our life in the right way. So, he concludes this chapter with the next two verses. We shall see that and complete the chapter this today itself. Next Friday, by the grace of God, we can then begin the ninth chapter. He says in the 27th verse, Naite sriti partha janan yogi muhyati kanchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Knowing these paths, O Partha, no yogi is deluded. Therefore, at all times, O Arjuna, be endowed with yoga. So you become, follow this yoga and know the signs. And he says that once you know the signs, then you will not go on the wrong path. You want to go to New York, so if the distance to New York is increasing as you are traveling, you know you are making some mistake. And so you will not get deluded by that if you know these signs. So, and you will progress in life. So always fill your mind, sarveshu kaleshu, all the time let your mind be full of the spirit of yoga. And he says that is why yogi, the one who follows the spirit of yoga, and this way we have been seeing this idea again and again, this yoga means conversion of the intellectual understanding into tangible, practical experience. So one has to strive for that. The last verse of this chapter concludes this: Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradeshtam atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Whatever good results are declared in the Vedas, sacrifices, asceticism and gifts, all that the yogi who knows the above transcends and attains the primeval supreme abode. So the highest abode this yogi attains by transcending all these little things, the transitory things in life. And that is why yogi is the greatest, because the yogi gets the greatest. So follow the spirit of yoga. That is what Lord is telling Arjuna in life. Hold on to the spirit of yoga, that let me realize God. Let me follow this path and this illumination will come in life. Otherwise, well, you may do many, many things in life, like you may perform austerities, that is given here tapah. perform austerities, or you may give lot of donations, you may do many other things. You may go to the different pilgrimage places, you may perform many ritual sacrifices and worships, but if the spirit of yoga is not accompanying it, then it will not yield the desired results. So, in fact, you will get stuck on the path. So, follow the spirit of yoga. So, thus this chapter ends here, 8th chapter. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Akshara Brahma Yogo Nam Ashtamo Dhyayah. This 8th chapter titled Akshara Brahma Yoga thus ends here. So, 9th chapter is called Jnana Vijnana Yoga. That very beautiful, both on the philosophical lines, poetry of it, and the practical benefit, actually, all that will be seen here. It all, in the 9th chapter, we will see how the Lord pervades everything. That all is included in the Lord has been told here. But how? We don't see that. So that will be shown very beautifully in the 9th chapter. So we shall, by the grace of God, from next Friday, we shall try to study that. Any questions? Yes, please. It is not meditative path. That is, meditation is one aspect of it. But you have to, every other thing that one does in life, that has to be done in the spirit of yoga. If you are meditating in the sense that you are sitting and closing the eyes and thinking of something in the brain, but if that is not done in the spirit of yoga to realize God, then that meditation is not meditation in that sense of yoga. It will be another habit that you put in yourself, and it may in fact cause a lot of confusion in the brain. So there are those who do meditation for some time and then just forget about it. They are not yogis. They meditate as a part of the worldly discipline. They may have their worldly results, or even they may not come to, but spiritually speaking, it is a part of the discipline. So one has to remember that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvina Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namaniyane Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.